welcome to the Giraffe Social Media Podcast. It's what social media managers are talking about. I'm Chloe Bellchamber, and on today's episode, I'm direct messaging Pinterest manager and strategist Sarah Burke. We'll be discussing how online service providers can scale their business channels with Pinterest. But first, before we get into the episode, let me introduce you to today's guest. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Where are you joining us from today? I can see you've got a little furry friend with you.
Yes, I'm joining you from my house in North Carolina.
Amazing. We love having overseas guests in. It's great to gain different perspectives from social media managers around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the great thing about this online business world. You connect with so many people.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing all your insights about Pinterest today, but I want to kind of, you know, wind the clock back a little bit because you started your journey working mostly in writing and editing. And I love that on your website, you said that these jobs shaped the way you care about brand storytelling, which I think is such an amazing value and quality to have working in the social space. But what is it about Pinterest that you love? What drew you toward the platform all those years ago?
So one of the reasons I actually started my business in general was because I wanted that time, flexibility, and freedom to travel, visit family, eventually spend time with my children if I have them. And what I witnessed from others working in specifically the Instagram management and marketing space is that they were always on. There was always something to do. And it's kind of just this 24/7 cycle. And I didn't want any part of that. With Pinterest, you don't have to do like outbound engagement or inbound engagement. The content really speaks for itself. So you can create and schedule it. And it allows you to step away while also not having to spend as much time on Instagram, maybe, if you want to step away from that. So I wanted that flexibility for myself, and I also wanted to bring it to other business owners because time and time again, I just saw so many people getting burnt out by Instagram and social media. So Pinterest seemed to be a different side of that. And beyond that, I just love the way that Pinterest combines more technical things like SEO and copywriting with this also super important visual design aspect. Both are needed for success, and I love that I get to work with both of them.
Yeah, you're making me feel like I really went into the wrong business with all this Instagram stuff. You're so right. Like, it really does have this always on kind of attitude that you need to bring with it. So I may be making a move over to the Pinterest side of things quite soon after hearing that. You offer your strategic services primarily to other online service providers. So what are the kinds of challenges that they face when it comes to online marketing and lead generation?
A lot of the online service providers that I work with, they are project-based businesses. So, you know, they're copywriters or designers. And that really depends on having a consistent stream of leads, of new people engaging with their content and getting down that pipeline. If the only way that they're finding these people are through Instagram or something else like that, that's going to limit your potential for growth and for scaling. So one of the main concerns that people come to me with is that they're tired of doing it all. They're ready to have something that's a little bit more passive, a little bit more consistent, that doesn't take so much of them. And so that's where Pinterest really does come in. It serves as this really important step in the funnel to help my clients find dream clients, specifically to book out their high ticket offers. Because you, I'm sure anyone listening has had this experience, you'll probably sort through a lot of low ticket inquiries and bad fits in your DMs, and it takes a lot of time. But with Pinterest, you're able to target your audience more specifically. And beyond the one-on-one services, you can step out of having to be in your business every single day. If you're looking to scale with passive offerings, digital products, courses, these are all the sorts of stepping stones that a lot of online service providers are considering in their business. And we can solve that with that consistent lead generation on Pinterest.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess aside from kind of being able to take a step back, like we just mentioned, what can Pinterest offer businesses that can't really be achieved through other platforms and channels?
Yeah. So first of all, the actual power in Pinterest is that it's not a social media platform. Sure, it kind of looks the same because you have content that you post, it gets engagement, and you have followers. But as far as the actual algorithm goes, it functions a lot more like Google SEO. So Pinterest mm-hmm. is a visual search engine, which means that your users' home feeds and their search results, it doesn't depend on who they're following. They're going to get served whatever content the algorithm thinks is best for them, which means that the discoverability, especially for newer businesses on Pinterest, is incredible. You don't have to have a lot of followers to get a lot of traffic, which is also another huge benefit of Pinterest. It's designed to send people off of the platform, to send them to your website, to your services page, to your blogs, whatever you want. And it's a lot easier to do that, and it's a better user experience than from Instagram or from other social platforms.
Mm. Yeah, you're so right. I love that. Like, you see with apps like Facebook and especially with Instagram in particular, like they really do try and do everything they can to keep you on the platform, to keep you scrolling. Whereas Pinterest takes like a completely different approach and almost encourages you to, yeah, visit other, like follow through the links. And the fact that it's a image search engine is like incredible. Like, I just love the way when you're typing something in, it fills it out automatically and you're like, shows the content straight away. Like, there's it's no so sort of smart. Messing around. Now that we know that Pinterest is a great place to meet new potential customers, let's talk about the different kinds of lead magnets that you can create, because this is the perfect platform to scale your evergreen content, like your blog or your email list, right?
Yes, absolutely. So there are so many different ways and so many different types of content that you can promote on Pinterest. Of course, things like blogs and even podcasts, if you turn them into pages on your website, you can send people there. As far as actually getting those users to convert from just website visitors, the email list is really the best place to do that. And I've seen so many different variations of lead magnets. I mean, I think what I see most commonly is this sort of value add in the form of a PDF, so like a checklist or workbook, mm-hmm. content prompts, things like that. But you could even do things like quizzes and free webinars, challenges. I mean, the list is really endless. You just want to make sure that you're providing something valuable enough that your audience will want to give their email for it, but it's also not giving away your secret sauce. It's not giving away everything. You want to entice them to learn more about you, trust you as an authority, and then eventually hire you.
Definitely. I mean, I have signed up to so many like little PDFs and checklists and even small sort of ebooks via Pinterest. So it's so perfect for that. But I want to take a few steps back, because it's all great to know this information, but you first have to set up your account, right? So what is the best way to set up your Pinterest for success? Do you have a checklist maybe you can share with our listeners?
For sure. Before you do anything, I would start with doing your keyword research. So since Pinterest is a search engine, it depends on SEO or search engine optimization. You want to spend some time using Pinterest, getting to know the platform, and figuring out what kind of keywords and phrases both best describe your content and also is what users are actively searching for on the platform. Once you've done that, you'll be able to use those keywords throughout the rest of your profile and throughout the rest of your content. So it really is the foundational thing. As for setting up your account, start by making sure you have a business account. That's how you get access to all of the detailed analytics that you can actually track and see your growth. Create around 10 boards that are, again, SEO optimized and in line with the content that you're going to be posting. Optimize your profile with those same keywords again, so you can add a title and a bio. They just made this bigger actually, so you have a lot more space to put in everything you do, your offers, whatever. And then as a bonus, I would recommend going ahead and creating or purchasing pin templates that you can use to create your content. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you're going to pin something. You have all of these tools, the keywords, the templates, and it makes it so much easier and so much faster. Oh, and the number one thing that I almost forgot, make sure you claim your website. So this just, you just have to add a little bit of code into your website's header. It sounds complicated, but it's not. And that just makes sure that you get proper the data from people visiting your website, and they can track everything properly.
Okay, those sound good advice. I want to talk really quickly about keywords and templating, because I know there's a little bit of confusion maybe if you're new to the platform, where you're almost your instinct is to kind of just in the caption that goes along with your pin to just input a bunch of keywords and not actually form a real sentence. Like, you're just kind of popping in those keywords that maybe people will search for. Is that the way to go about it, or should you try and be as succinct as possible while still having those keywords in there?
Yep, you've definitely got it. The best way is to write for people, not for the Pinterest robot. So you want to make sure that your description is incorporating those keywords, as many as possible, while still keeping, you know, a natural flow to the sentences. The description should describe the content, and you just are adding a little bit of that SEO bend to it by incorporating the keywords.
Perfect. I mean, it's almost like you should take the approach where you need to sort of ask yourself, if I was searching for this content, what would I be inputting into that search bar, right?
Exactly.
Amazing. Well, even after checking off all of these optimizations we've just been through, some businesses might still find that Pinterest isn't exactly generating the results that they hoped for. So what are some of the hidden hurdles businesses can run into off of Pinterest that need to be addressed before they can achieve their end-to-end goals?
Yeah. So it's actually one of the tricky things about Pinterest is not just the content you put on the platform. You have to follow through, especially on your website. So especially for service providers, if you're not selling, you know, direct products that can be bought through the platform, you want to make sure that you have a proven funnel. And so every step of that funnel really needs to be optimized to convert leads. So your landing page should be attractive and have well-written copy, even down to your ideal client knowledge and pricing strategy, your offers, all of that. If you don't have that finalized and confident and know that it's aligned, those could be stumbling blocks with your Pinterest success. All Pinterest can really do is set you up to grow brand awareness, to get more people to your site, those leads, but it's all on your website to actually convert them. So nurture sequences, your email list, I mean, everything, even down to your site's own SEO, that plays a role too.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, we talk about this a lot here at Giraffe, is looking at that funnel, and it really does kind of come down to the website, right? Because you could be doing everything right at almost every stage, but if your website kind of doesn't have that attractiveness, or if the user journey is really difficult, you know, you see a lot of your leads kind of dropping off because, you know, it's almost too confusing to kind of follow through. So that's some really, really sound advice. Are there any outdated Pinterest practices that business owners should just avoid altogether? So it's an ever-changing platform. You know, I'm sure a lot has changed since the last time we interviewed a Pinterest expert. So yeah, is there anything we need to know?
Definitely. It's always changing, and there's a ton of outdated information out there. Some of the biggest ones I see is a lot of people will still advocate for pinning like 30 times a day or some sort of crazy numbers. But this was advice back in the day when you were still repinning other people's content or your own content as part of your Pinterest strategy. Now, Pinterest is really focused on creating fresh, unique content because they were tired of their users seeing the same top 10 pins over and over again. So instead of pinning 30 times a day or repinning a bunch of other people's content, you should really focus on what's going to be sustainable and manageable for you to consistently put out new content. I recommend at least one pin a day, which is quite a difference from 30 pins a day. but really, it's about the quality more so than the quantity. And the other thing that I see a lot is the discussion of hashtags on Pinterest. So their functionality isn't really there. People don't use them the same way that you would on Instagram. And they have been linked with like spammy behavior. So you kind of might put yourself at a risk of being flagged for spam if you use them. It's not a cut and dry answer, but you're better off just using those keywords, again, incorporated naturally in the description.
Yeah. And so where do you stand on people resharing their posts directly from Instagram? Because I know that maybe from a creative perspective, this is something that's kind of been encouraged just as a way to kind of gain that extra reach and that extra exposure. But on the other hand, it's not really doing anything because you've not yet optimized that pin. So is there kind of a happy medium there?
Definitely. I think there's a way to repurpose your Instagram content well for Pinterest. And, you know, at the very low effort end, you can just directly share that image and at least change the title and the description, because a caption for Instagram is going to be incredibly different from the description that you want to optimize from Pinterest. So even if you just do that, that's worlds better than just sharing it directly. But what you also want to think about is the user experience. And if a user on Pinterest clicks on a link to your Instagram post, if they don't have an Instagram account, they won't even be able to see it. So it's not the best. And if you can, I would recommend either changing the link to your website or something else, or you can take advantage of Pinterest's idea pins, which don't have links. So I like to describe them as a combination of Instagram stories and reels. It's up to 20 slides of video, text, or images. And so you can resize whatever Instagram graphic you've created, or even take your Instagram reels and upload those into idea pins. And since they don't link anywhere, you can get the benefit of building that audience using the content again on Pinterest without running into any awkward user experience or worrying about the format of the caption or anything like that.
Yeah, I love story pins. Is that what they're called? Or idea pins, sorry. I've seen a lot of success with those, especially if you're maybe not necessarily a business, you're just kind of like an individual, an influencer, or a creator, and you still want to have that online presence or maybe drive a bit of traffic back to your Instagram or just kind of pop your content out there. So yeah, absolutely. We love those. So, Sarah, in an ideal world, what does a holistic Pinterest strategy look like?
I think in an ideal world, it looks like consistent pins to your evergreen content, your lead magnets, and your offerings. A holistic Pinterest strategy, it should support what you're already doing in your marketing. It's not reinventing the wheel, and it's not going to save your business alone, but it should be sustainable. That's what I advocate, and that's why I love Pinterest so much, because it doesn't have to be your all or nothing Hail Mary. It's just another tool in your kit of marketing tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And my final question for you today is, where do you see the future of Pinterest going? What does it look like? Do you think there's anything big coming up soon? I'd love to know.
Based on what's been going on with Pinterest, I think there's definitely a push towards more of a shopping and e-commerce focus, and also towards video content with the idea pins. But I don't think that we'll ever get rid of the sort of core of Pinterest with these just standard pins linking out. I think they're under a lot of pressure to be like other social platforms, TikTok and Instagram specifically. But that user base of Pinterest is really interested in using it as a bookmarking platform. They're going there to look for ideas, for education, inspiration, and that's never going to go away. Pinterest saw a huge boom of users during the first year of the pandemic, and I think that that's starting to level off now, and we're really getting back to, that core base of users. And I think the changes that Pinterest is making now, in addition to this more focus on an e-commerce support and features, they're improving their algorithm. They're really focusing in on their user experience. And even though it's gone through a bit of a rocky time the past couple of years with changes and updates, I think they're settling into something that's going to continue to be a super powerful tool for any business.
Oh, wow, I love that. I think you've wrapped that up super well.
Thank you.
Before we wrap things up here today on the podcast, it's time for our rapid recommendation segment where we find out what our guests have been loving and what they simply can't live without. So, Sarah, I want to know, what's one app or tool that you couldn't work without?
Canva, hands down. I use it for Pinterest, for my own business. It's the only thing I couldn't replace.
Definitely. Yeah, we've had Canva a few times and I am on Team Canva as well. It's just like the best. For no matter who you are, you need Canva for at least one aspect in your life. So perfect. My next question is, who is one brand or persona that you think is getting it right on social at the moment?
The first person that comes to mind is Emma Barrera of Right Hand Glam. She's an Instagram and honestly other social media engagement strategist. She runs an engagement agency and she just advocates for this totally authentic and real and sustainable approach to Instagram marketing that I am absolutely in love with.
Amazing. And finally, what's one valuable resource, event, or group that you think our listeners should know about?
To learn more about Pinterest specifically, Levy Road Studio is my favorite source for courses and education. They're up to date, data backed, and you just can't get better than that.
Amazing. Well, that is all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Sarah.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. If you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And if you'd like to leave us a review on your favorite podcasting app, we wouldn't mind that either. We've been Giraffe Social Media. You've been amazing. We'll see you next time.